Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Rollins snakes his way inside, puts up a wild shot, and gets it to go with a foul. Oh, baby, that was a circus shot that some way, somehow, Rollins coaxed in.
Bucks talk starts now.
Wretched situation for the Bucks to find themselves in with 0.3 seconds. I mean, it was a complete prayer that Ja Morant was throwing up there. And his prayer was answered because he got fouled on the shot, evidently, by Ryan Rollins.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
That Rollins basket was the last bright spot in the game for the Bucks, coming very, very late in the first quarter. The second quarter, an absolute disaster tonight, and it's not the singular reason why the Bucks lost the game. There is not one singular reason why. But here you have a team that is now, once again, seven games below 500, and you see the teams in front of you in the Chicago Bulls winning, continuing to win. You see the team that's nipping at your heels, the Charlotte Hornets, piecing together wins more consistently as well. You're tied in the loss column with the Brooklyn Nets. These are not good trends for a team that continues to play without Giannis. And no concrete answer on when Giannis is going to return. I think at the very earliest, it would be when you return home for the Washington Wizards. But if this road trip becomes worst-case scenario and an absolute disaster, where do the Bucks sit at that point? 12-19 right now. If you drop the final two games, which is entirely possible, you know, night two of a back-to-back, I know it was night two of a back-to-back for the Chicago Bulls, or will be, as well, but they're at home for both of those games. If you drop to nine games below 500 with that schedule that I referenced on the network that waits for the Bucks in January and the hope that Giannis is back New Year's Eve or shortly after that, you are in very, very deep trouble. You're already starting to swim in some pretty deep waters here. But it starts to get pretty late, pretty early now, if that's what you're facing. And that's why we continue to point to this specific stretch of games. Look, I know you don't have Giannis, but this is a chance. Memphis has played better since a 4-11 start to the season. They did get Ja Morant, unfortunately for the Bucks. They get Ja Morant back after a four-game absence. They get Cedric Howard back as well, a rookie who's played very well for them. But you know, Memphis, this was a gettable game, and you could see that in the first quarter with the way the Bucks played. They unfortunately have not sustained anything since the first month of the season. The Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, you had an opportunity with that game as well to be on the other end of a trap game, to be the game that's sandwiched in between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Timberwolves beating them, and then a matchup with the New York Knicks, and then, you know, a couple of days later, a Christmas Day matchup with the Denver Nuggets. You had an opportunity to be the team that they overlooked and take advantage of that. You hung around for the game but could not win it. That has been the story of this season so far for the Bucks. If it hasn't been rebounding, if it hasn't been, you know, defensive miscues, if it hasn't been shot selection and, you know, the true shooting attempts that you hear me reference, by the way, outshot by the opponent by five once again tonight, it's been turnovers. And month by month, the Bucks have continued to sink in turnover rate. The percentage of your possessions that end in a turnover, they were the eighth best team in the league in October. I know it's only five games, but they showed you all the positives we can find so far this season, they came in October. The teams they beat, the way they played, the way they protected the basketball, the pace that they played at. Number 8 in the league in turnover rates in October. In November, it slid to the middle of the pack. In December, you had 22 once again tonight. Before this game, they were 26th in the league. When you have to tread water without Giannis, the way to do it is to not say we're going to turn the ball over, we're going to let other teams rebound, we're going to give up good shot selection to the opponents. On a nightly basis, the Bucks have seemingly done at least two or all of those things. And it did feel like they were starting to build some momentum. The defense had been playing significantly better. Problem is, the offense had been one of the worst in the league for the last 2 weeks. They rebounded pretty well tonight, right? 15 offensive rebounds, a season high. But again, the true shooting attempts. Your opponent gets 5 more. The Grizzlies get to the free throw line more. They take more field goals. And they just pounded you in the paint. The margin for error is non-existent, and yet the Bucks continue to make these miscues several times over, night after night. 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as this team is now closer to the Brooklyn Nets in the standings, the third worst team in the Eastern Conference. You are closer to them than you are the play-in tournament. It's not that early anymore. We're a third of the way through the season now, more than that. We are rapidly approaching halfway through the season. And this hole is starting to get deeper and deeper. 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.125-104, the final score tonight in Memphis. This has truly been a house of horrors for the Bucks. 5 straight losses in Memphis now. 8 straight losses to the Grizzlies overall. And 4 of those 5 losses have been by 20 or more points. 2 years ago, I believe it was, you had the 41-point loss. The average margin of defeat in these last 5 games is 21, which was the margin tonight. So it has just been the scene of the crime for the Bucks going to Memphis. You know, for a while there was Utah where the Bucks could never win. You came very, very close. You thought the streak was going to snap. It was, I believe, 18 straight losses? And then you had that game that started the 18-game win streak where you thought this is the year that you're finally going to win in Utah and lose on a Joe Ingles corner 3 at the buzzer back in 2019. You had Phoenix for a while. It was something like 22 out of 24 games that the Bucks had lost in Phoenix. They finally climbed that mountain and won in the game that Jabari Parker blew his ACL out in. And now Memphis is quickly becoming the next place the Bucks just cannot find any success in. It had all the makings for you. It was there in the first quarter. You played the exact way you need to play. And, you know, I don't think any of us have answers on why none of this has been sustainable for this group. I think that's the most frustrating part in assessing this season so far is, granted, the bad has far outweighed the good, but we've seen the good. And you can point to instances in games and you know, most notably that 5-game stretch in October to say, well, look, I've seen what this team can play like when maximized and when healthy. We've seen it against good teams. We've seen the starts of the season. We saw them playing at a much, much better, faster pace. We saw an elite offense. We saw a defense that was good enough. We saw Ryan Rollins ascend. But none of it has been sustainable over an extended period of time. Obviously, Giannis going down doesn't help that. But it's just been a Jekyll and Hyde version of this team where you have good quarter followed up by a bad quarter, and in a lot of cases followed up by multiple bad quarters. You know, tonight's second quarter is where the train got off the tracks, and you just, from that point forward, were never able to get it back. 35-15, you're outscored in the second quarter. Seven of your 11 first half turnovers come there. And look, these guys are aware of it too. And I think Doc Rivers' frustration with the turnovers questions, well, I do think they're fair, is that, well, how do you want me to coach this in free throws? Right? Do you want me to tell, and by the way, the Bucks have gotten better at hitting free throws, but what do you want me to do? Do you want me to tell these guys, hey, you know what would be a good idea? Let's start hitting free throws. Do you want me to tell them, you know what I think we should do that would probably help juice our offensive efficiency? We should try to keep the ball and not turn it over. It's frustrating. It's confounding for the coaching staff as well. And, you know, a microcosm of what we said with this season as a whole, Kevin Porter Jr. You've seen far more good than bad with Kevin Porter Jr. Let's get that clear. Seven turnovers from a guy that's going to have the ball in his hands as much as he does, you cannot have, especially when you don't have Giannis, when you don't have that centralized hub and that guy that's creating everything in terms of easier shots and more efficient looks for his teammates and himself. You cannot give the ball back seven times individually, 22 times as a team. And that has unfortunately become commonplace for Kevin Porter Jr., is we're seeing more and more of these high volume of turnover games from KPJ. And you will not survive getting those types of performances as this team continues to play without Giannis here. Speaking of Giannis, with this game that he's missed tonight, I believe, let's pull up his games played here, but I believe it's two more games on the surface that Giannis would be able to miss and still qualify for the season honors, regular season honors. He's missed 12 games so far this season. No. He's missed 14 games, so he's got two more that he can miss. Also keep in mind, though, Giannis had a couple of games where he played fewer than 15 minutes. So unless he comes back against the Hornets, I believe that streak is going to come to an end. Let's also be clear here. Giannis, he's unfortunately not going to qualify. Even if he does come back, let's say tomorrow, even if he comes back for Charlotte and comes back before missing 18 games, it would require him to not miss a game again this season. So unfortunately, this run that he's had of finishing in the top four in MVP voting for seven consecutive years, for being an all-NBA first team, seven consecutive years, all-defense, he had that stretch where it was four straight years. That streak is currently inactive, but this stretch of seven straight years, top four in MVP voting, seven straight years, first team All-NBA, that is going to come to an end now. It's just getting harder and harder to find the positive so far in this season. We had Ryan Rollins earlier in the season. Even tonight, I know there was foul trouble. 24 minutes from Ryan Rollins, that's not enough. That's not the answer. A minus three in the plus-minus category, which you've heard me get on here and talk about how much I hate referencing the plus-minus number. There is some usage to it. It doesn't always tell the full story. It certainly doesn't always tell an accurate story. You know, but tonight, Bobby Portis minus 23, Kyle Kuzma minus 23, A.J. Green minus 23, Kevin Porter minus 17, Ryan Rollins minus 3. You got to be playing Ryan Rollins more. And you go back to that Pacers win where he played, I believe, what, 33 minutes? The hope was it came on the heels of the minutes dropping once again for Ryan Rollins in that game against the Timberwolves. And, all right, we saw the success against Indiana here. There's got to be the acknowledgement of we haven't been playing enough minutes. This is going to start to come up now. And back to 24. The five fouls wasn't the only reason for that. 22 minutes against the Timberwolves, 28 minutes against the Raptors, 22 minutes against the Brooklyn Nets, 25 minutes against the Celtics, 22 minutes against the Pistons. He's had this stretch of games where it's now six out of the last seven games that Ryan Rollins has played 25 or fewer minutes. That absolutely cannot happen. The growth that we've seen from him earlier in the season, and we talked about turnovers for quite a bit. We heard Doc Rivers talk about it as well and essentially say, you know, especially in these games without Giannis, we need one of these two guys on the floor at all times. Taking one of them out of the starting lineup is not the only avenue to that. I mean, even in this game tonight, Ryan Rollins entered 5 or 6 minutes into the game where you had both of those guys on the floor. You can start both guys and pull one of them at the midway point of the opening quarter and bring him back in to start the second quarter. But, you know, I thought one of the things we should have learned, not that it's reinventing the wheel, but we really should have learned this last year, was, you know, the novel thought that it's kind of important to play your best guys the most minutes. There is no debate on whether or not Ryan Rollins is one of your five best players. You know, we can debate what starting lineups work best. Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. are two of your five, and in all likelihood, they're two of your three best players on this team. They absolutely need to be starting next to each other, not just for that reason, but to also continue to get reps, because maybe this is, not to overstate it, but a backcourt of the future for you for the next few years at least. You need more reps to see how this works together, how one of them plays off of the other, and just to continue to feed that. Playing Ryan Rollins 22, 24, 25 minutes, that's not the way to it. So I cannot urge enough for Ryan Rollins to get back into the 33 and mid-30s and higher minutes neighborhood and live there for the rest of the season. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We continue to see a lot of mediocrity across the Eastern Conference, but unfortunately for the Bucks, they're right there feeding into it. We'll get into the standings update coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.125 to .104 final score tonight in Memphis. The Grizzlies take down the Bucks. Eighth straight win by the Grizzlies over the Bucks, and it is the fifth straight time Memphis has beaten Milwaukee. The Grizzlies have beaten Milwaukee in Memphis. We heard from Doc Rivers before the game. Giannis is close. I don't think it's worth it to waste the time and energy to plot out games where he would return when there's so many other problems this team needs to fix. And what does close mean? You know, we've seen variants of close in that word the last 3 or 4 years with this group. The loss, though, drops the Bucks to 12-19 on the season. I mean, think about that. Like last year, in the horrendous start to the season, it was 2-8. You were 6 games below 500, 10 games into the season, with at that point plenty of time to overcome it, turn it around, as we saw they did in terms of their record. But this is 31 games. You are 10 games away from being halfway through the season. And if we just do a bit of math here, and say the Bucks have won we'll be generous, 39% of their games so far this season at 12-19, that would give you four more wins in your next 10 games. 4-6 record. You would be 16-25 at the midpoint of the season. The problem this team is quickly getting themselves into is you are just waiting on Giannis to be Superman and to catch you falling from the sky, to save you from a bullet and the speeding train, right? To just come in and lift you up and fix everything. And as we just said, whenever it is he comes back, if it's 2 games from now, 4 games from now, 6 games from now, he's not going to play in every single game from here on out. And the issues with this team have been pretty glaring that it's abundantly clear he's everything to this group. But at 12-19, you are 2 games behind the Hawks in the loss column. Atlanta, by the way, I mean, the Bucks have been a big disappointment. Injuries have been a big part of it. To have Giannis miss 14 of these 31 games, if you would have been told that coming into the season, I think we all would have said, oh boy. But Atlanta, the expectations that were there for that group to, hey, could the Hawks be a top 4 seed? And to be clear, they could still get there. They're at least 15-17. Cleveland, 17-15. They started 15-0 last year and won 64 games. And yeah, they've had guys in and out of the lineup and injuries occurring to multiples of these guys. But you know what? If I'm built around a quote-unquote big four, and we can dispute whether or not it is, but in the eyes of the Cavaliers organization and their fan base, it is a big four with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. If you want to trade rosters and tell me, take the Cavs roster, they can have your roster. They got Giannis, but he's going to miss 14 of your first 31 games. You're going to have, you know, at least one of these guys on the floor, and in most cases, two of these guys on the floor so far every game this season, sometimes three. I think there's been a couple where it's been four. I'll take that situation. You know, injuries happen. Every team is dealing with it. But you still got other guys, and that's what this Bucks team has slowly gotten to and devolved to. The atrophy of the roster, that it's just chipped away and away and away, where no more Dame, no more Drew Holiday, no more Chris Middleton, even though he was nobody's favorite towards the end in the fan base, no more Brooke Lopez. Like, one by one by one, how many of these guys have fallen off to just Giannis and unknowns? That's what gets you here when he misses 14 games, when you go through a bad stretch. You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you go through this bad stretch, and it's, man, Bucks are, you know, through, what, 31 games? Man, they're 17-14. But you see how much that changes it to get to 12-19 now. 4 games behind the Bulls, Heat, and Cavaliers in the loss column. Those teams right now, Cavs, Heat, and Bulls in that order, 7, 8, 9 in the Eastern Conference. You're 4 games back of that group. You know, I joked, what, after the Pacers game, when you felt like and you hoped, maybe, just maybe, you'll build some momentum here. I joked, couple of games away from being a couple of games away, right? If you can start to enter that room, all of a sudden it's, hey, the Bucks are within striking distance of the 7th seed, potentially even the 6th seed. If you can just get close to 500, you got to win games, and you got to win consecutive games. You know, we heard Giannis preach and opine earlier in the season, good teams don't lose back-to-back games. Unfortunately for the Bucks, 31 games in, what we've seen is that message is not applicable to this group. The message is bad teams don't win back-to-back games. They have not won consecutive games since the end of October. And now, even if you win the final 2 games of this road trip, which 3-2 trip, fine. We will certainly take that with the way this team has played this season. Again, winning less than 40% of your games. But if you do that, it's going to be more than 2 months since you last won consecutive games. So I mentioned how far they are away from those teams. I mean, you can't even think about the Magic or the Cavs or the Heat, frankly, any of those teams that are 4 games in front of you in the loss column. Right now, your only focus is the Atlanta Hawks. And can we catch that team that's just out of our reach but not that far behind? But you better worry about the Hornets and Nets. I mean, that again, who would have thought we'd be having this conversation and why? We'll dig into that coming up next.
This is Bucks Talk.
125-104, Memphis Grizzlies take down the Bucks and make it 8 straight against the Bucks, 5 straight wins in games played in Memphis between these two teams. I mentioned the Hawks are, you can still reach out there and grab them at 15-17. And, you know, the larger point of the disappointment surrounding the Bucks and their 12-19 start to the season, I'm not going to try to sell you as this is not all that disappointing. It is. But relative to the expectations, Cleveland, and I know they're above 500, but Cleveland, Atlanta, Orlando, like, this is equally disappointing, the way that these teams have played. To a lesser extent, Orlando. Cleveland, certainly. Atlanta now to keep dropping below 500. It does make you question, when you look at the makeup of the Eastern Conference, and you look at, as we're seeing, I mean, it is clear the Pistons and Knicks are the elites right now. Maybe Boston enters that conversation. There's more and more a momentum picking up steam that Jason Tatum is going to play this year. So maybe Boston gets in that group. The rest of it, you know, no one scares you. I think every one of those teams, 4 through 10 right now that you look at, and you know, frankly, Boston, too. We'll see what Jason Tatum looks like, assuming he does come back. There's still some holes on this roster and pieces they had to trade off in the offseason. But 4 through 10, Toronto, Philadelphia, Orlando, Cleveland, Miami, Chicago, Atlanta. If you draw any of those teams, a good team, to be clear here, if you draw any of those teams, I don't think you're afraid and say, we absolutely think we can win this series. And that just lends to, when you hear the conference is wide open, it's that, right? Even those top two teams, I still think there's going to be questions surrounding Detroit. They've played incredibly well. That's a really good team. They're a tough team. They are coached very well. Cade Cunningham, I still don't think, is recognized as much as he should be. As of right now, Cade Cunningham has been the best player in the Eastern Conference this season. But you're going to have a lot of teams that look at them and say, we can take this team. We can figure out how to slow down Cade Cunningham and just make other guys on Detroit beat us. We're not afraid of them. New York, there's going to be questions about, can we put Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in some defensive matchups that we can exploit against that team? That's why you hear this conference is wide open. And that's why this chatter off the court is not going to go away this season. You know, especially when you look at a team like the Atlanta Hawks, who had much loftier expectations than to be 2 games below 500, 32 games into the season, who have one potentially expiring contract in Trae Young. He has a player option this summer. One expiring contract for sure in Kristaps Porzingis, both high-value contracts in terms of their dollar figure, I should say. Have some pretty juicy draft assets. And have some nice young players. And if you look at this as your Atlanta and say, if we make the right move, we can be up there towards the top. We can right the ship here. Orlando already went in the offseason. Maybe Toronto feels that way. Philadelphia is kind of tricky. We continue to hear Miami's looking to do some things. Cleveland's in a very tough spot because they're a second apron team and have far and away the largest a cap figure in the league this season. They seem like it's blowing up in the summer. But being a second apron team means, you know, any of the chatter of what is Cleveland going to do? What big move can they make? Basically none, right? A second apron means you can't aggregate salaries. You can't bring back more than you send out. So there's going to be an impetus for some big moves leading up to that February 5th trade deadline. And we continue to hear the Bucks lurking and kicking the tires on some names. But with these 31 games of sample size, It may start to push you, if you're not there yet, to a spot where you just look at yourself in the mirror and have to realistically say, does this make sense for us to do? To make one of these moves that isn't necessarily an impact move when you look at some of the names the Bucks have been linked to. And by the way, and I think there was a report out there, I'd heard the same thing, the Bucks haven't actually asked about Michael Porter Jr. or kicked the tires on that, but you continue to see them linked to him. What's the walkaway point for this team when you're struggling to get too close to 500? Does it make business sense to say, let's make another move? You know, I get appeasing Giannis, and I get saying, we still have him. Let's try to round out this roster around it, because you know, if Giannis is here, I don't know how different it looks. I do believe it looks different. If Giannis is not missing those 14 games, and you figure there'd be at least four or five he wouldn't play, but if you had him for 10 more games, and let's say you go 6-4 in those 10 games, that's 18-15, right? I mean, that is tied with the Orlando Magic for the sixth seed. So that's the dangerous spot you're in right now, to just look at that and say, look, he's going to change everything for us when he comes back. But by the time he comes back, is it too late? And that is the realistic question and thing you're going to have to evaluate here in these next few weeks, because I mentioned Charlotte and Brooklyn. Charlotte's a game back of you right now. The Charlotte Hornets, one game behind you. They're 11-20, you're 12-19. You've split with them so far this season. You got Charlotte coming into Milwaukee. Next week, you got Charlotte to close this trip. If you drop both of those games, Charlotte's going to move in front of you in the standings. Brooklyn is tied with you in the loss column. They played three fewer games than you. That's why this is a dangerous preposition. Because, yes, you would be a much, much better team with Giannis on the floor. But how soon before we have to realistically say there's been too much and it's just too far gone this season for us to really crawl out of this hole? And are you currently facing a best-case scenario of maybe you can get up to 9 and then you host the play-in game where you're in the spot of you have to win two games to get the right to play the first seed, the number one seed in the playoffs? We'll take a look at the final two games of this road trip, and one game that has turned out to be incredible that is still going on right now in Utah. We'll update you on that as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
The lyrics to this song, it does feel like you can never really leave this spot. And this malaise of the 11 seed right now, and potentially 12, that the Bucks have checked in there and they're never able to leave. Despite the struggles of the teams around you, you continue to do the same. So you got the Bulls tomorrow night. It's a Bulls team that has been incredibly Jekyll and Hyde so far this season, but they've now won 5 straight games to get back to 500. This comes after a 7-game losing streak. So they lost 7 in a row, one split the difference, and one loss, then now won 5 straight games. That's how they've played for most of this season. It started with the loss in the Cup game to the Bucks that started and triggered a 5-game losing streak after a 6-1 start to the season. They've had a couple of long losing streaks. They've had a couple of 5-game win streaks now, and now they get the Bucks tomorrow night. Both teams will be on night 2 of a back-to-back, but this Bulls team just beat the Sixers, who had Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and Paul George on the floor together. They have started to right the ship, and it feels inevitable. The Bulls are going to get to 39 wins every single year. They're going to be in that probably 8 or 9 spot, and they'll get 39 wins. The Atlanta Hawks have been a similar story the last 4 or 5 years. Like, they'll win 40, 39, 40, 41 games, are going to be in the play-in tournament. You're behind those groups, right? Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta have been mainstays in the play-in tournament for the last 4 seasons, I believe, 3 seasons. You're behind that group. and you are potentially going to be looking up at the Charlotte Hornets in a matter of 2 days, 3 days after that game. So we've said this after each and every one of these losses so far this season. It's starting to become the definition of insanity, but you just have to right the ship. You have to clean up the margins. You have to limit your turnovers. You have to get back into doing some of these things defensively. They did a pretty good job rebounding tonight, but it can't be we did one of these. You have to do all of them while you don't have Giannis, and you especially have to do it at this to this schedule that's in front of you, because January is an absolute beast. And if push comes to shove, January may be where it gets to be too late. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip in Chicago, 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you tomorrow night.